But I want to tell you about coffee that I had this last week. I met a guy this week, and we started talking, and I've known him for quite a while. He's been evicted again. He's homeless, and he's struggling that way, but he goes by the name of Jacob, although I think he has a few different names. Have you met people like that? It's like, today I will be Jacob. Anyway, he's one of those guys that he's had this hard life. And much of his life, his hard life, has probably been self-inflicted. It's something he's brought on himself. But he can be completely frustrating. Because as I talk to him, I know that God has placed a call on his life. I know that God has in a sense, chosen him and wants to walk with him. But he is one of those guys that just seems to lose sight of that. And yet he has seen God do some amazing miracles. And for whatever reason, he decides to go through these deep valleys and these spiritual low spots. And it's just frustrating to watch. He's prone to addictive behavior. And so the thing about Jacob is that he will seem to be doing really well for a while, and then he'll meet a woman, and somehow that all unravels, and his life starts to deteriorate, and he gets derailed, and he gets himself in some real messes. We've probably met a few people like that over the years, but he's trying to, then in the middle of this, he gets himself in a bad way, in a bad relationship, so he's trying to extricate himself from this situation, and a lot of times he'll turn it on God, and he'll say, I am so frustrated with God. And he'll wonder where God was. And it's the problem is that he's always trying to fill this void that's in his life that just seems to, the things that are supposed to bring joy just seem to leak out and never give him that joy anymore. So he'll get backed into a corner, and then he'll call for help, and you'll hear him just kind of rant on God. He'll be frustrated with him for sure. And it's like he wants to turn it all on God and say, how did you get me into this mess? And it's like, you were the one that made the decisions, weren't you? You were the one that made those choices. But in his hangover, he'll end up being really bitter and angry and just pretty much yell at God. And sometimes I listen patiently, and then there's other times where I just get completely exasperated with him. I don't know. Have you met people like that? Do you know people? They make all kinds of self-destructive decisions, and then they try to pin it on God. So this guy, Jacob, is one of these guys who does that. And as an observer, as I watch him, at first I get all like frustrated and angry and judgmental. And then, of course, I have to look at myself, and I start to go, oh, yeah, I've made some decisions over the years that have pretty much almost derailed my own faith, right? And so I have to be somewhat gracious. So we had coffee this past week, and he starts telling me about an article he saw on the CBC website. And it was this title. It's crazy. Very uplifting. Without precedent in modern times, why the world's vortex of crises will keep swirling in 2017. That's optimism on January the 1st. Why the world's vortex of crises will keep swirling in 2017. It was this depressing article, I didn't have to read very far into it, that says that anything that was happening in 2016 pretty much is going to carry on in 2017. That, we hear about the destruction in Aleppo, right? Because recently they just started going back into Aleppo, the residents, and they found utter devastation and destruction in their neighborhoods. Not that I really follow my Twitter account a lot, but I'm told about Twitter a lot. I should maybe watch it, but it talks about a nuclear arms race that's going to start. Did you see those tweets recently? Anyway, yeah. Where's the peace, right, that we were seeing about 2 weeks ago in this very room? You know, joy to the world, all that great stuff. Makes me wonder if things are always going to be bleak. Do you feel that way sometimes? It's like, oh, so much. But I told Jacob about a song that I heard the Strumbellas sing. Do you know who the Strumbellas? Anyone listen to X92? No? Anyway, the Strumbellas, a great Canadian band, they were singing at the New Year's party that Patty and I watched, just the two of us at home. What'd you do on New Year's Eve? Yeah, I painted a wall, and then I hung a light fixture. True story. Anyway, so I watched the Strumbellas, you know, as they were having a good time in Ottawa with Rick Mercer, and they sang a song called We Don't Know. And this is a song that goes through my head. Should I sing it for you? Would you like? Well, I know, anyway, well, I know it gets harder every single day, and I know my darkness will never go away. It's hard when you're living and you don't feel much. This was just minutes before the new year, by the way, this song. And you're down, and you're hoping that things are going to change. And we don't know the roads that we're heading down. We don't know if we're lost, that we'll find a way. We don't know if we leave, will we make it home? Way to go, Strumbellas. It's a powerful song in that it pretty much sums up a lot of the things. We just don't know, and it can be pretty bleak. So part of me wanted to inject hope into this conversation, and I was sitting there with this guy, and I'm thinking, you got to get it. But he drives me crazy because he knows better. And I remember him calling out to God, and I know that he has experienced God's touch in his life, that he's a child of the Father. But somehow he's lost hope. And so, I mean, he's had tough days for sure, right? It's not like I want to just wash over that and say, just suck it up, you'll be fine. It's not like that at all. But I know that God has done some incredible things in his life, but that he's losing sight of that. So as I drove away, I started thinking about all the things I wish I could have said. Do you ever have that? Like, I'm 20 minutes after the conversation, I'm like, oh, if only I would have, and then I could have. So I wrote it down, and I'll share it with you. This is what I wish I could have said. I would have said something like this: Jacob, you got to get a grip, right? Like, God loves you. I know that you've messed up lots, and that you've got the scars to prove it. I know that. It's very obvious. But you need to let it go. God has forgiven you. Like, when Jesus died for our sins, that included you, right? Includes all of us. It's time to stop making excuses and start living out your faith. Remember how John the Baptist used to proclaim, you know, make way in the wilderness, and he would call out that we need to make way for the Lord. It's kind of like that. You've got to get rid of the obstacles in your life and make way for God to shine through. Here's the thing. Life is short. And I think I wanted to tell him about a friend of mine that was killed just about a year ago this next week. His name is Chris, and he was killed in a hunting accident. Yeah, a great guy. Big dreams, huge heart. And he's gone in an instant. A hunting accident that you would just not expect. But you just never know. Life's uncertain, and the Strumbellas are right. That you don't know if you leave, will you make it home? So we can't just waste time wallowing in our self-hatred and our doubt and our fear. That just paralyzes us, and life is too short. See, Jacob is a guy who places his hope in people and, you know, politicians and systems, and he places his trust in a lot of other things. But, you know, sometimes I see that these sunny ways are just the same old days, right? Nothing is changing, and we're going to be disappointed in people. And I would want him to know that the only thing that we can truly count on is God and his word. Everything else is fragile, and it'll disappoint us. We'll get frustrated every time. But God remains constant. The Bible says that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but God's word stands firm, and it's forever. It's constant. I wish I could get Jacob to see what we see that what we see right now won't last forever. God is coming to save us all from this. In so many ways, we forget that this is not our final destination. This is just temporary, what we see around us. In a way, we're all foreigners, right? We are all just here in the short term. Can feel like forever, but it's not going to last forever. So sometimes everything can feel out of control, and God will bring order to this chaos, is the promise. So Jacob often talks about ISIS, and in fact, even I was reading an article just this morning that there was another attack in Israel, and that was considered to be an ISIS-related thing. And there's just this, every time you turn around, it's the first question that we think of, right? Well, it must have been related to terrorism and to ISIS. And so Jacob gets worried about ISIS and terrorism, and he knows that they can wreak havoc on things. But that's the thing. We lose perspective. And we can lose this perspective so easily and forget that God is all-powerful. He's also caring. This is a weird combination. You have an all-powerful God, and then you have one who is also, we also say that God is a caring shepherd. He holds the lambs close to his chest, and he leads the mother sheep with their young that are so vulnerable, and he takes care of them. Think about it. Who else can hold the oceans in his hand and measure space with his fingers, figures out how big this is? God made everything. So who is going to give him advice? I don't know about you. I've tried to tell God how he should run things, but I'm glad that he didn't do what I suggested. I can imagine Jacob laughing at me as I recall the time that I got hurt by an ex-girlfriend, and I prayed that God would give me the gift of celibacy, right? Fortunately, God didn't. He ignored that one, so he didn't take my advice. We serve an all-powerful God who knows much better. So we get so wrapped up in all the conspiracies and the power games that are around us, and it's easy to forget that the biggest world powers are nothing in comparison to God's strength. I remember reading in the Bible that the nations are like dust, that the whole earth is like a grain of sand to God. One translation even says that the nations are like a smudge on a window. Seem all that much, but they can just be wiped out like that. See, there's no arms race or nuclear expansion plan that overwhelms God. It's all as useless, I wrote this down, it's all as useless as the milk froth on a latte. You know, it looks impressive, but it's just a bunch of bubbles, right? And so we can get caught up and lose perspective. If I would have had the courage, I would have said something like this. Jacob, sometimes I worry about you. It's like you've given up trying to seek God and that you've made your own God. Have you met people like that? He's one of those guys, and I've heard many people do this. They say, well, the God I serve would never do that, or the God I serve is like this. You know, that he wants me to be happy. We try to define God, but sometimes I wonder, where do we come up with our view of God? When we try to define God, we limit God so easily. And people have done it from the beginning. You know, remember Aaron at Mount Sinai and how he made a golden calf out of earrings and jewelry. He melted it down and makes this idol and then says, here is your God, worship him. And it's this representation of what? A man-made thing. And then they say, put your trust in this thing that we've made. Trust this. Devote your life to this piece of wood. But meanwhile, you have to be careful because the bottom might be a little crooked and your all-powerful God might topple over, right? It doesn't make sense that we would try to give an image to God. What I should probably do with Jacob is go camping with him, right? That we should go out, stay up late, look at the stars, and start to imagine just how amazing God is. The imagery is so cool. It's this idea of of making a tent, that God makes a tent out of the stars, that he spreads it out like a canopy. You know, a lot of people, they'll devote their lives so much to trying to figure out the stars, you know, the signs of the zodiac. They'll use that as their determiner, right? Read that in the newspaper and decide what your day is going to be. Meanwhile, here's God, the creator, who uses the Milky Way like a curtain, just spreads it across. That is our all-powerful God. Those moments of wonder and amazement, they're quickly overshadowed by the fears of today and our worry about tomorrow. So this is what I would say to him. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, which is Jacob's other name, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary, and no one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So when Isaiah the prophet spoke to the descendants of Jacob, he would often call them Jacob. They were also known as Israel, but he gave them this message of hope. No matter what was happening in their lives, because their lives were rough, they were being kicked out of their land, they were going to be evicted in that sense, and they had brought this on themselves. It was the way that they had treated others, it was the way that they had overlooked God. It had been said that they had an affair on God, multiple affairs. They just had left the God that they were supposed to be devoted to, and they ran around with other gods, small g gods. But yet God, the creator, was the constant one. He was the one who was consistent, that was the trust, the one that they could put their trust in. So this is what I've been thinking about this week, is the fears that we have about today and our worries about tomorrow need to be held in perspective in comparison to the one who loves us. Our great shepherd who takes us in his arms like his lamb and just wants to hold us close, wants to protect us, wants to lead us in a way that we need to go. This is our God. And he's the one who loves us. So for those of you who are afraid of what is ahead in this new year, you need to remember that there's a day coming when Jesus will come and take us, and that he'll take us to live with him forever. Ruth is experiencing that today. Ruth is in the arms of the Creator God. That's a great promise. And it's one that gives us hope that the struggles that she has experienced in her life are over, that she is now with the Father. And we heard about this last week. This is what's been stirring around for me, is when we had Revelation, when we heard about the nations coming and worshiping God, as every, you know, nation will be represented there at the throne of God. You think about the fact that they are worshiping him. And so all these nations that we see right now that have a lot of bluster and noise and that arrogance that we have, that we are somehow all-powerful, is suddenly put in perspective, and it's all changed. So here's the question, or here's the statement. Maybe you need to have a coffee time with Jacob this week and read Isaiah 40. It's a good thing for your soul. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are all-powerful. We thank you that we can trust in you and that we can lean on you, that we don't have to give you advice, that we can come to you as one that we can trust. So I pray for those that are in this room who are facing huge decisions in the days ahead, that 2017 is not one of optimism, but one filled with fear. Lord, would you work in our hearts so that we would trust you more fully? Would you shape us and mold us so that we could reflect you in all that we do? And Lord, where we are like your people, Israel, where we have tried to make our own gods and put things ahead of you, I pray that you will make us aware of that and willing to make you Lord of our life. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, so that we can walk and step with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.